So one more time, we're going to remember and practice our Lenten practice with the sign of the cross, I am baptized and beloved. And I want to share with you something that one of our Bible study members shared a few weeks ago. And when making the sign of the cross or when thinking about the cross, the up and down motion being reminder of our relationship with God. And then as we go side to side, reminder of our relationship with all people that we have through God. And I really liked that, and it really fits in with the preaching today. So one more thing to add to your practice this week, remember your relationship with God and your relationship with all people. So some Greeks came to Philip and said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." We don't know if they are Greek Jews come to Jerusalem for the festival or foreigners who know about or curious about this Hebrew God, but we do know that they are foreigners, outsiders. They have heard about Jesus, the signs he has performed. He's turned water into wine, healed a man born blind. Most recently, he raised Lazarus from the dead and entered Jerusalem in a grand procession. Yes, this is one of those helpful times when our lectionary flips the stories. So what just happened in John's gospel was the procession with palms that we'll read next week. The religious leaders in Jerusalem have expressed fear after this big procession that all the world is seeking Jesus. And with the arrival of these Greeks, it looks like they might be right. Philip finds Andrew, and together they go to Jesus. "Hey, Jesus, there are some people here who want to meet with you." Now, I like to think that Jesus comes to greet them, giving them the same courtesy and attention he's given to children and to strangers throughout the gospel stories. But John doesn't tell us that. Instead, John tells us that Jesus takes this opportunity to begin teaching. "The hour has come," Jesus says, meaning the hour when he will die and rise again and ascend to heaven. In John's gospel, this series of events, death, resurrection, and ascension, is the final sign of Jesus' identity as the Son of God, the Word made flesh. And as we read in Mark's gospel earlier this year, Jesus connects this talk about his death and resurrection with a call to service and discipleship. John's Jesus does not say, "Take up a cross." Instead, he uses a different image. In order to bear fruit, a grain of wheat must enter the ground and die. This is a reference to Jesus dying and rising, but also to what it means to be disciples of Jesus. If you want to serve me, you must follow me. Follow me in serving and caring for others. Follow me in self-giving love. Follow me even into death. This idea of dying and rising again is one image that we use to describe baptism, an image that we take from the letters of Paul. Dying to the old self, to self-centered ways that resist the light of Christ, and rising again as new beings who live in Christ and shine the light of Christ in the world. We come to baptism to receive God's promise given by grace. We don't need to earn it or deserve it or even choose it, which is why we baptize infants. God chooses us in love and grace to become one with God in Christ. But we also make commitments at baptism. We make commitments as parents and sponsors and as a congregation on behalf of baptized infants and children. And when we are older, we take responsibility for those commitments at confirmation and whenever we do an affirmation of baptism. We renew our promise to be in covenant with God. We promise to live among God's faithful people, to be part of a church community. We promise to read and hear the word and receive Holy Communion to nurture our faith. We promise to proclaim Christ through word and deed, to care for others and the world God made, and to work for justice and peace in all the world. You remember saying those promises? Whew, that's a lot of promises. It's a good thing that we make these promises to a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. It's a good thing we make these promises in the context of new life in Jesus, whose death and resurrection has already reconciled us to God. It's a good thing God forgives us again and again when we don't quite live up to all these promises. And, my friends, it is also a good and beautiful thing when we do live into these promises, this covenant of baptism God makes with us. When we follow Jesus in service, collecting food for children who are hungry, diapers for babies at the border. When we bear the fruit of love and faithfulness, that is when other people see Jesus more clearly. Our church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, takes this call, this baptismal covenant, so seriously that we use the tagline, God's work, our hands. It is our role to live out that work of Jesus, that work of disciples in the world. Part of what it means to be disciples, baptized and beloved, is that we bear fruit in the world so that others may see the goodness of a loving God at work in our lives. One of this week's poems from the Unfolding Light blog by Steve Garness Holmes reflects on what it means for us to live in service. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. You are not just one seed. You don't have to go and die for Jesus. You are a whole bag of seeds. Strew yourself in this world. With every act of kindness or generosity, every time you forgive, another seed slips through your fingers. Every time you care about someone, even a stranger, especially when it's risky, you scatter a handful of seeds. Let them go. Toss your love wildly into this world. Scatter seeds in good soil and poor. Many will be eaten by birds or trampled underfoot, but only the ones you throw away will grow. You have a whole bag of love. Sow it all. That is what it looks like to follow Jesus. When we love and serve others, when we work for justice, when we come together in community, and this is what leads to new life. Because Jesus says, when you follow me and serve me, when you remain in my love and live as my disciples, you experience abundant life. It's challenging. Especially when Jesus insists on pairing following him with ideas like giving up our lives and falling into the earth to die. It makes some sense that we might be anxious, even a bit resistant to such calls to service. In her commentary on the Working Preacher website, Pastor Audrey West says, "During this season of Lent, we follow Jesus all the way to Golgotha. All the way to the cross where we will stand beneath it. It is there in the face of the world's many ways of death, poverty, economic collapse, hunger, sickness, war, that we are drawn even closer to Jesus. It is there in the light of the stark reality of life at its end that we begin to catch a glimpse of life at its fullest." We want to see Jesus. And sometimes we see Jesus most clearly in those moments when we are most in need, when we are most exhausted and overwhelmed by the needs and pains of this world. We want to see Jesus, and we are invited week after week to gather in this community of Jesus followers to share word and meal, music and community. We are invited to open our eyes to the way Jesus comes to us in the people we meet, people who serve us and people we serve, people who love us and people who challenge us. We are invited to commit ourselves to lives of discipleship, following Jesus right to the cross, so that we may not just see Jesus, but abide in him. And as God's baptized and beloved people, we are invited to shine the light of Jesus in a hurting world. May it be so. Amen.